This is RSBMB Update, episode 621, recorded Thursday, June 1st, 2017. Bombshells and Nuzzles. Hello and welcome to RSBMB Update, everyone. Tanis and myself are here this week, as we are every week. Thank you for joining me back, Tanis.
Thank you.
Also joining us this week is someone who you might remember from a long time ago of RSBMB Update history, Magic King 610.
Hello.
You have recently come back to RuneScape for a bit and wanted to join us on the show to offer your opinions on this week and some Menaphos things. And I don't know what you're going to be offering your opinions on, because this week was kind of a non-update week, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. There's still been some stuff.
Yeah, and you doubted me that we would have a show this week.
No, I doubted that we would have an update section this week.
Well, here we are. So, anyways, this week, regardless of the fact of being a non-update week, no patch notes, no ninja fixes, nothing from that regard, we do have episode 4 of The Road to Menaphos, in which this week they are talking about the various factions that will be at play inside Menaphos. So, each of the four corners of the city will be ruled by a specific faction, and of these factions you'll get reputation, unlock cosmetics, and bank deposit box in each of the factions for gaining reputation there. And you might be asking, how do you gain reputation? Well, you gain reputation by doing things around the city and gaining XP in those skills inside the city. So, first question to you guys, with this faction and reputation system, you guys think this is a somewhat more laid-back way of unlocking aspects of the city rather than having, you know, just a huge list of things that need to be done inside the city, which, I mean, I'm assuming there will be, but at the same time, it just seems more laid back, because they say, go get XP, go train in the city, and you'll gain reputation.
Yeah, I mean, I like the system. I think it's kind of borrowing a little bit from the God Wars 2 reputation type of faction deal, but this is like on a skilling level, so right. I think that's kind of cool. The other key, and we'll talk about this a little more in depth later, but you have to reach a certain level of reputation to unlock some of the quests that are further along in the expansion.
Yeah, and that's something we weren't really aware of until we heard this week. So, as you said, more on that later, because there's a whole live stream on that this week. So, I mean, on the surface, it looks as though Menaphos, you know, is a smaller piece of content than Prif was, which is probably true in terms of the grand scale of how many skilling activities you can compete there. But there's definitely going to be a lot to do, I think. So, with that being said, I don't know, maybe we were a little bit too conservative in managing our expectations over the last few weeks.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, of course, I'm the kind of person, I'd rather take a conservative view of it, and then anything on top of that, it's just gravy. You know, I mean, I want to be surprised. I want to be happy. And I think that's exactly what could happen, and that would be great. As we're learning more, I'm still very cautiously optimistic, but I am very optimistic, and I do kind of see a method to their madness. This is really focusing on the banding of levels, which is what they were one thing that they had really been talking about. How at different levels, it's going to be really, really good XP, and then as you progress, you know what I mean. It feels a niche, which is what I thought it would be, but they're really kind of driving that home, which I think is good.
Yeah, and they definitely need that for mid to high levels. What do you think, Magic?
I did notice in the video they were talking about new ways to train Slayer. So I'm very interested to see what that'll be.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the million-dollar question with it, going to 120 Slayer, how this dungeon comes out. Because I think, you know, we have only Well, we really haven't seen many skills go to 120, because both Dungeoneering and Invention were released with native to 120, so we kind of knew what was happening when those were released, but this is going to be the first time that an existing skill has been taken to 120 and content is being created for it. So, I don't know. You're right. That's going to be very interesting to see how that goes forth.
Well, and Mod Osborne specifically kind of alluded to there being more than what we know, like more than just the Slayer dungeon. So, you know, are we being trolled or is there something that
I don't think so. I don't think so.
We just don't know.
Because we'll talk about this later. There's also the Golden Path. And you'll recall that at RuneFest 2016, they did say that they can move to expansion-type updates where they will bring out a single large update, but it will often take between a month to 3 months for someone to fully explore and understand all the content that's there. So it's fair to say there will be hidden content inside Manifos that we're not aware of when it actually releases. And once again, hidden content is going to be the name of this week's podcast, because we do have a little update on a other piece of hidden content in just a little bit. But they also brought out some tips for Manifos here. I think we can move on to the tips that they mentioned, and they were 10 tips in the video. The first one being that the Pyramid Plunder set that you can currently get in-game will now teleport you to Sophanum once this update comes out. Diamond in the Rough and Stolen Hearts are the only two quests that are needed to access Manifos right out of the gate, so very low barrier to entry. You will, however, need to complete all of the desert quests to face off against the Pharaohs, which, once again, we really don't know too much about the Pharaohs, so that's going to be an interesting learning experience right there. You're going to be able to switch factions at any time, even though you may want to get all the unlocks from a specific faction before moving on. And to access the Slayer dungeon, now this is something that you guys are going to be interested in, you will need to have completed the quest Ichthyrin's Little Helper, which is a great desert quest. If you have not done that, would highly recommend it. I assume you guys have both done that?
Yep.
Okay,
good. I just did it again for the second time this week.
Oh, yay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And it was fun.
If you're lower than 120 Slayer, they say, why don't you wait for Manifos? Because there's going to be lumps of new trading methods in Manifos. So once again, you know, there was the rush for people to get 120 Slayer before the update came out, so they would have it right off the bat. But they say, if you're still below 120, why don't you wait? There's going to be some interesting stuff to play with. They're also going to be doing a community event outside the Manifos, which I'm guessing is on the same level as Build-A-Fair and Port Serum and other community events that we've seen in the last 6 to 8 months. So I don't know how we feel about that, but hey, it is what it is. Any thoughts on that?
As long as it's not another pay-to-complete event, then it's just a bonus in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. And then what, on top of that, is it for 1 month, you're going to have a 5% bonus?
Yeah, that's point number eight, a 5% bonus XP and Benefos for any activities taken. Then point nine was rather cryptic, and they said the Golden Path, and that was all that was said in this video about this. So Golden Path is going to play an interesting role here, and I think some people are on their way to completing that, but we'll talk about that in a bit. And point number 10 is to unlock the lodestone of Manifos, which, depending on how you feel about lodestones, might be something that you do or you don't do. So,
woo! I want a lodestone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think lodestones could be...
You ever tried to walk around here?
Yes, that's how we used to do things back in the olden days.
I know, and we used to make butter with a churn, and we used to ride horses, too.
I've done both of those things.
Of course you have, Shane. Of course you have.
I've done both those things in real life. I've even made ice cream with a churn. But
well, okay.
So, I mean, we could do it that way in RuneScape, but in any case. All right. So, Tanis, you watched this week's live stream about the quest and the city quest and the lore that's going to be focusing in there. What are the... what are the core bullet points everyone should be taking home from this week's live stream?
Okay. Well, first of all, there's going to be four new quests. So that's very cool. And that kind of gives us something that I don't think a lot of us expected to be that to have that many quests. I thought there was maybe one to get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I'm wondering, so this, do we know if they're cool. going to come out all next week or if they're just going to trickle out over time?
Well, one of the things they said in the live stream, one of the reasons why we are getting this amnesty period for the comp and trim comp players is because some of these quests and some of this content is locked behind certain levels of reputation for the different factions. Hmm. So you will have to earn a certain level of reputation, and then that would unlock the quest. So I'm assuming that they're there. It's just you'll have to, you know, unlock it through getting, you know, the right amount of reputation. Another way besides just skilling, I thought this was kind of cool. There's going to be a city quest. So this is more like your, I mean, kind of like the bottle quest you talk about, Shane. Mm-hmm. But probably even smaller than that. Like these are more like a fetch quest essentially.
Oh boy.
But there's like story involved in it from what it sounded
so
like.
So what they're trying to do then is they're trying to kind of take the same template they used for the Ark mini quests and add a bit more story to it. And I know I'm going to get tomatoes or something thrown at me for saying that because no one really liked those Ark mini quests.
But that's how they described it. That's what they compared it to. So, I mean, pretty spot on. But there is more lore and more story kind
okay,
of
well, that's
know, connected
fair,
to it.
That's fair then. I think that's fine if they deliver on that.
And you also, when you complete it, you have the choice of either to take the rewards or you can get extra reputation for that faction. So
oh,
I think
okay.
that's kind of...
So then we're definitely going to be doing something with the reputation beyond the quests then.
Yes, for sure.
Do we know what that's going to lead to, or did they not go into that in the stream that much?
I know there's going to be some, of course, cosmetics and things like that, but I don't know. That could be some of the stuff that we have to find out.
All right.
Because they didn't like give us everything. One thing they did, in addition, this is kind of not along the same lines as the quest, but they've reworked the desert, which was something they said they didn't, but wasn't doing a couple weeks ago. But
oh, well, that's good.
I guess they have. So.
And I mean, with that,
awesome.
It's really going to go towards that revamped entire feeling of that area and kind of revitalizing it, because I'm just looking at the stream right now. Metaphos itself looks really good.
Doesn't it? And I thought, why would you half-ass this and not just do it? So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, and you know, if there's one thing JX can do with graphics nowadays, it's really take advantage of the NXT rendering engine and deliver solid visual experiences that really improve game immersion and stimuli. So really great. All right. Any other bullet points that we should take home from the stream?
Let me think. Those were the ones that really stood out to me.
All right.
And it was a much shorter stream this time. You know, there wasn't a lot to cover, but I thought those were all very interesting and pretty cool.
Yeah, because, you know, when we think about it, that wasn't something that was initially talked about, a graphical rework of the desert and surrounding areas with this. But, hey, we'll take anything we can get. So that's great.
Oh, we'll definitely take it. And I didn't expect for there to be full-blown quest included in this.
Yeah,
expansion.
Well, you kind of need cool. to do that when you're dealing with the desert and a huge new area coming out. So, and, you know... That's why I wanted to be so careful early on, is because we really weren't being told everything, and that's why managing expectations has been so key for this update process. So,
yeah.
Magic, are you excited about Menaphos, and what does the stream do for you?
I myself didn't watch the stream, but I am definitely excited to step foot in the city that we've been talking about for well over 10 years at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I remember on the podcast here when actually Sophonum, its city on the other side, came out, and that other one has just been sitting there and just been waiting for the right time, and here we are. All right. So we good to move on from the stream then, Tanis?
Oh, one more thing. We do know the name of the first quest that gets you in. It will be called the Jack of Spades, and it's the Ozan quest.
Ah, so, okay.
Lots of fun. Not going to be voiced, boo. But some of the NPCs in the city actually do have very generalized voice acting to them. So.
Yeah.
So we do have that. So Jack of Spades sounds
interesting. Ozan
sounds cool.
Because, like, when was the last time we looked at these signature heroes? They've kind of fallen by the wayside with the whole god story. And, I mean, Ozan, I think, was one of the least annoying ones, but there he is.
Ozan was cool, you know? I mean, I thought it was a pretty cool story, and this will be neat. We're also going to find out about Osman and Leila, whatever her name was, his daughter. There's going to be more, but I don't know if that is in that quest or one of the subsequent quests, but that's there as well.
Excellent. Also, just thumbing through the stream here, a reputation system, chaplain's checklist, chop Acadia trees, pickpocket marketers, steal from all the stalls, catch all three fish, hunt a plover bird using Acadia log, do a shifting tomb, do a city quest, kill a devourer gorilla, okay, gather divination energy from Sophonim and collect a cat.
Yeah, that was like a little list that they had one that J-Mod's working on, and unfortunately for him, he did not realize that he killed a gorilla on the internet on the anniversary. Yeah. Oops.
I knew that anniversary was close, but I didn't know that we passed it.
Oh, it was the day of the live stream. You should have saw the chat that day.
Oh, you got to leave it to JX to do something like that, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, if that's an example of some of the tasks, that's really not too bad. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily pass judgment on this before it's time, but that, in some ways, kind of feels like what we should have had from the arc.
Yeah, I'm still trying to be cautious, but feeling better this week versus last week.
See, I told you what. I told you would. Yeah. Most definitely. All right, so that was a stream this week, and as I mentioned, we do also have a little bit to talk about with regards to the Golden Path. So the Golden Path, for those of you unaware, is basically a treasure hunt throughout the internet and through RuneScape that is going for some end goal. And we didn't know what the end goal was initially, and it was later revealed that the end goal is a prize pack of a Menaphos-themed item in-game, and three people will get the grand prize of an all-expense-paid trip to RuneFest this September for people who successfully complete the Golden Path. So that is the stakes of the Golden Path. So are either of you guys following this at all?
No.
Okay.
I am absolute rubbish at riddles and stuff like that.
So. Okay.
Yeah, after going through the Sombra one in Overwatch, I just kind of stopped.
Yeah, that's actually what this has been likened to, except maybe making a little bit more progress on this side of it with a clearly defined outcome. So. Okay, so Questcaping from ClanQuest provided a great overview of what the Golden Path has been and where it's been going so far. And ultimately, the Golden Path just started with a string of symbols that was seen in a single frame of the Menaphos cinematic trailer that was released a couple months ago. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there are also different symbols at the bottom of this week's Chapter 4 behind-the-scenes video for Menaphos as well. So that's the kind of level of hidden information we're talking about here. These symbols were also decoded eventually and revealed to be an alphabet, and the string of symbols decoded to a hidden page on the Menaphos website that RuneScape created, basically linking to a page that explains the Golden Path as it is. And on that page, there is more of these symbols, and they translate into various languages, English, German, French, and I believe that other one is Portuguese, though don't quote me on that flag. So all of these are on the Metaphos website, and then you can use that dictionary to decode the message. And people did ultimately spend a lot of time decoding that message, and after they decoded it, it came out to one sentence entitled, "The Legend of the Golden Path." You know, it seems pretty simple, but this was just the beginning. Eventually, as they moved through it, it was revealed that the Golden City of Menaphos stands today, as it has always for generations, resplendent, affluent, and prosperous, and ultimately below the surface there's corruption, decay, and destruction, which is obviously referring to the Slayer dungeon, because we know Slayer is going to take place underneath Sophonim and Menaphos. So that was alluded to in the Golden Path.
And we're going to be bringing some destruction in the Shifting Tombs.
There you go. Exactly. Also in here, the Pharaoh grows richer, while the poor of nearby Sophonim rot in the ditches. So once again, it's kind of that whole East Ardoin, West Ardoin thing, with the Menaphos being the affluent, while Sophonim being very poor. Menaphos, four districts are each ruled by four different people, a commander, an admiral, a worker, and a grand vizier. Each in some way are complicit in the city's desolation. And these four faction leaders each have a different story that can explain the Golden Path and basically unlock the true secret of Menaphos. So, and, you know, they said it's a once-in-a-lifetime reward, and that once-in-a-lifetime reward, of course, is the all-expense-paid trip to Runefest. And they did also reveal a secondary page through the source code of the previous HTML page that has a link to an Instagram profile. And this Instagram profile links to Admiral_W. We don't know exactly what is on that page to begin with, but you know, it's interesting that Jagex is going to the full level of having pages inside the HTML comments of it. So, what do you guys think of that mechanic of forcing people into the HTML code?
I'm completely lost, but it sounds cool. But I don't know how you would even do that.
I've always been impressed with how deeply people dig into these, and
yeah,
sometimes the rabbit holes they go down are just fun to laugh at later on.
Yeah, and you know, I would say that would be the normal case if Jagex didn't provide that. Yes, you guys are on the right tracks. So that's what we've seen so far. So I'll continue on with this. Following this Instagram profile, over 5 days, each of the photos in here ultimately spelled out the name Wadded, which was entered into the sundial north of Menaphos, which had all of the symbols on it. And then after you completed that, you received a chat box message that gave you the next part of the challenge. It says, "The Admiral is pleased with your progress so far. Now is not the time to stop. You have set the bar. In the month of May, the 9th, tune in. It's all fun. Your journey down the Golden Path has just begun." So that...
Is there a live stream on the 9th?
Exactly. And that was Shifting Tombs. And the hint that came out of this was the fact there was a cat plushie on the table with a YouTube logo on the collar. But at the same time,
that J-Mod never put it down. I thought it was the weirdest thing.
That's
like,
right.
He had it the whole time.
And then after the VOD was put up and they put it up on YouTube, someone found a frame of this video with a frame that had a YouTube play icon of this cat. And there was a meow sound effect played at the exact same time with the picture of the corrupted thrall that was on screen. And that effectively pointed people to the Menaphos micro page for the Corrupted Thrall, which is, of course, on the runescape.com/Menaphos website. And on this website, you then had information on the Corrupted Thrall and more information in the source code of the page. And one of the images was corrupted. So if you opened it up in a hex editor, it formed an ASCII art Reddit logo Yes, I said that word with the words Hero Batal. Hero underscore Batal. And basically what this means is someone opened up the image editor in a program that lets it see the raw data values of the image so it can be manipulated on a byte-for-byte value, and lo and behold, the ASCII art was in there, pointing people to this Reddit account. And then this is where it got, as you said, a wild goose chase, pointed people to r/thegoldenpath, talking about how pointless a revolution was, and there were comments made a long time ago to the effect of, we are workers, we were born to it, and we will die to it too. Daydreaming anything different is a waste of what little life we have. So, okay, so we've left RuneScape, we've left the RuneScape website, we've left YouTube, and now we're on to Reddit. And then also, Batal had some information entered in the sundial. If you entered that name in the sundial, it was given as well. It says, find me as a friend, outcast, risk-taker, underdog, memorandum, shadow. And the initials of course, these words spell out forums. So this is, of course, going to the forums now. On May 15th, an account called Vizier E posted in Arabic saying, catch me if you can. It also posted the following day something along the lines of the clues that had already been there. JMOD forum posts edited by Vizier E had also been found, one as far back as 2011. And one of the edit hints that there are 9 almost 2 weeks later, and they've found 4 of them thus far. To search for the rest on the forums. So, ultimately, it was found out that the name of Vizier E was Asan, which could have been brute forced by people trying Arabic names that started with the letter E. Google also found a Google also found a chatbot called Grand Vizier E, which, believe it or not, is an actual chatbot with the Metaphos logo. So Jagex did build this. If you go to rebot.me/GrandVizierE, you get this chatbot.
Why do I get the feeling that this is all a ruse? This forget about the tickets to RuneFest. This is an audition for MI6, right? I mean,
yeah. Wow. And, you know, at this point, you would be thinking if you were being led around, but at the same time, more information surfaced, including a video featuring letters called Commander A, spelt out by the alphabet with a Twitter logo. So this, of course, pointed people towards a Twitter account called Commander A, and on these two Twitter accounts, there's actual data there. And a photo was revealed of the Grand Vizier, Isan, Commander A, Admiral Wadded, and Hero Batal. So far we've revealed 4 different people who hold the keys to Menaphos, and we have the Twitter account and Reddit profile for 2 of them, and there's more information that hasn't been found. So as a result of this, as of May 25th, that account started tweeting, you know, and this kind of threw people for another loop on the 25th. It said, I'm a fake, so people had some questions about that. But if you turned up the saturation of the images in the tweets, you can see that it says, I am the real deal in the left border, using the, of course, symbol alphabet that was there. And as we go to record this, there's more information that still hasn't been revealed with this.
Wow.
So this is where we're at, and it's not finished yet, and it likely won't be finished until we get the final release of Menaphos in-game.
Good lord.
Yeah, wow.
Some people are dedicated.
Yeah, I completely agree with this. And, you know, there were initially Discord channels set up for the Golden Path before Jagex announced it as an actual competition. But once Jagex announced it as an actual competition with the rewards, the amount of people interested just skyrocketed. So, and, you know, that brings up an interesting question from Questcaping here. Would it have been better if the reward wasn't known and if the puzzle just being a puzzle rather than a way to grab, a free all-inclusive trip to RuneFest? What do you guys
think? Would anybody went to that extent, though? I mean, how would you even think to do some of that shit? Like, seriously, how would you even think to do some of that? Like, I mean, you had to have a reward, right? You had to.
It happened with Overwatch, and there is no reward for that other than just being able to say, yeah, I figured it out. So if people are really into it, they'll do it. But Jagex releasing a reward basically just gets their name out there and says, hey, if you do this and you know you show dedication to the game, we'll fly you to our event for free.
Yeah. And Questcaping's feeling is that it's caused too much of a change in the community, and people have discovered the challenge who normally wouldn't. And ultimately, it's being driven by people who want the prize more than people who are just there for the puzzle. And ultimately, it's also resulted in people withholding information to prevent other people from advancing on it.
I mean, we can go down the rabbit hole that is the RuneScape community, but I don't think anyone wants to sit through that one.
Oh, we do that every week, so, I mean, if you have something to say about it, please do.
I mean, if that is really the thing that people are complaining for changing the community, then I am very, very surprised.
Yeah, okay. Then we're not doing too bad, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I am going to partially agree with what Questcaping said in relation to the competition. If you are doing an all-exclusive trip to RuneFest, at least make it raffitable. Raffleable. Is raffitable a word? Or is it raffleable? I don't know. I just made up a word.
But, I believe you did.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a made-up word, Shane.
Yeah.
I think, especially with the state of the RuneScape community right now, I can't say nobody would have done it, but very few people would have done it if there wasn't a reward, because you know everyone's all about the XP gains.
And
XP
and you know there are the lore hunters would do that. I know there are people dedicated enough to the game who would still complete it. And you know I don't like the side effect of this that it's resulting in people holding back information on this, because at the end of the day. You know, if it's turning people into assholes for this.
I mean,
yeah, but I mean, they probably were already an asshole to begin with.
As with any competition, it will bring out the worst in people.
It's a very true point.
I mean, withholding information is minor. Honestly, it's not like, you know, they're trying to kill people to get the info.
Anyway,
I don't know. I'm not a puzzler, so I guess I don't understand it like you guys do. Because,
well, I mean, I'm not even involved in this, and I wasn't even going to decode an alphabet for this. I'm there to play RuneScape. I'm not there to, you know, spend hours upon hours decoding puzzles. But I do commend the people who have done that.
Yeah, I'm sitting back and watching and going, well, that's cool. Also, most of you don't have a life at this point.
And hey, we're going to learn lots of lore from it along the way, so that's great.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
This is a great way to learn about the city, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so from one questionable update to the next. This week we have an update on Hazelmere's Signet Ring. Yes, the ultimate of hidden update of 2017. You guys will recall Sirion and I had great discussions on this at the tail end of March about exactly what was going to be happening with this ring and whether or not it was real and what it would do. Well, this week we have information. As of now, there have been two or three of these rings dropped in game. One of them didn't even know that he got the ring because he was AFKing Dark Beasts.
They had to put clues out on the live stream. They're like, if you are a max player, if you are AFKing Dark Beasts, you have 200 mil skills. I'm like, when they said max player, I'm going, oh, I'm ready to like start searching my bank, you know?
Yeah, like the ring was banked and they didn't do anything with it, so...
I'm just waiting to find out what the ring actually does.
Right. That's one thing we're still very questionable on. And, you know, this really is what the topic that Sirion and I really debated about here is that this ring comes out with the lock rework. It's unannounced. And if it's just a cosmetic update of the ring that already exists, fine. Have at it. Have at your billion GP cosmetic ring.
But I feel like if it was cosmetic, they wouldn't be making such a big deal out of it.
Exactly. It is not cosmetic. I don't think we know what it does yet, do we?
Nope. The first person to confirm that they have it stepped forward last night. So they have not said anything about what it does. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they have a gag order. Who knows?
Maybe they're trying to sell it before people figure out it doesn't do shit. It's just slightly tiny bit better than the luck of the dwarves.
It says you feel the luck of Hazelmere shine upon you.
If I remember right, Hazelmere wasn't too damn lucky, was it?
No, it ended up dead.
That's what I thought. Poor choice.
But, okay. So, here's how you get this ring. It is classed as super rare, which isn't surprising given the fact it's taken, what, almost 2 months to get it?
Yep.
But, well, and didn't Timbo have to make some adjustments to its...
Yeah, I believe Timbo said... I think he said he changed the drop table sometime at the end of April.
Yeah. And basically what happens with this is that if you are wearing Luck of the Dwarves and you get a Blurberry special, you have just rolled a 1 in 10 failed chance of getting the ring. If you are not using the Luck of the Dwarves, you will get a cheese and tomato bata drop instead.
Oh, the ultimate troll. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Oh, that would suck.
Yeah.
That would suck.
So, it can come through Slayer. It can come through the rare drop table. We know that much. And at the end of the day, it's still silly rare. But there's a huge butt on this. You know what that is?
It probably doesn't do much.
No, they made it easier to get as time went on because it wasn't being dropped.
Right.
So you guys can take that for what it's worth, but I don't know how I feel about that because, I mean, we have this item in game that's been dropped two times, maybe three, and we don't know what it does, and they had to make it easier for it to be dropped.
Well, because they just made it stupid rare where it was never happening. And
it was a subsection of the drop table that you could only get by having Luck of the Dwarves.
Yeah. Which has now shot up in price once again. I think it's interesting the things that we know that it did drop off because it's dropped off a Dark Beast. I think the other one dropped off a QBD,
Queen Black
right?
Dragon, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So who says you can't make money at QBD? Come on.
And apparently there was no server-wide announcement for it because private chat was set to off.
Yeah, that's... I really don't... It's a ring. It's a luck ring. It is not worth your stack. I'm sorry. It's not... It won't be. The only reason it's that way is because of the scarcity.
Oh, and the third one came from... Or no, the guy was on Black Dragon but was selling the... or at the Queen Black Dragon. We've got archived Reddit posts happening here.
I mean, I know with Luck of the Dwarves, it's the same strength as all of the combat rings. Mm-hmm. But it's 3-in-1 plus basically a steroided Ring of Wealth. It's nice to have, at least.
Yeah, I mean, hey, maybe it would give similar combat stats to like a Death Ring or something with the added luck bonus. But I don't think the luck bonus is going to be that much more than a Luck of the Drawers. There's just I just don't think it could be.
Yeah, and
maybe
you've hit the nail.
Maybe they've
on
added.
The head.
Go ahead. You know. Maybe they've added a fifth tier to the drop table that we don't know about yet.
And that was leading into my next comment, is that, you know, if these things start getting dropped and, you know, we go a week and let this person have this ring for a week and try and sell it for whatever they can or maybe not. I do think Jagex should come clean and tell us what it does, because we now know there is an extra effect. We need to know what that does and how that's going to be affecting the game and how these small amount of people who have this ring are going to be influencing the game. We need to know that.
Yes, I completely agree. Yeah, and at the same time, if you've got more money than sense and want to drop 30 bill on it.
Yeah, we've already got a pool going.
Their money.
We've already got a pool going in the BitSbytes clan chat, a few of us that, or friends chat rather, a few of us that if any of us get the ring, we're selling it and we're buying party hats for everyone.
Yeah, I'm curious when they're finally going to release the info, since it has been 2 months and people are starting to get them.
Now, you know what this means? It's time for me to start doing Slayer and combat again.
Oh, you're supposed to wait for Metaphos to come out.
No, I'm not going to wait. Maybe.
You know, Shane, this would be a great time because it is the skill of the month.
That's right. But I didn't sign up for that.
Oh.
I have a feeling you could change that if you really wanted to.
You're right. I could change that if I wanted to.
If you need somebody to, you know.
But anyways, the ring has been dropped 2 or 3 times, and the players have acknowledged having it in at least one of the cases. One of the cases had to be PM'd by Mod Timbo, and we don't know what it does yet, but we do know there is a secondary effect, and Jagex should ultimately come clean on that. So I think I'm content to leave this ring where it is right now unless we get any more information coming out in the near future.
I'm sure we'll hear next week when people start to mess around with it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Or you know, people may stay quiet so that they can get a good price on something that really isn't worth all that much.
Yep.
I'm wondering, though, you know, for this many people, does this go straight to the bank if your inventory is full? Because it kind of sounds like it, possibly.
Hmm.
I mean, how would you not know it was in your inventory? Because, I mean, it's going to be in your backpack. You know what I mean? If you were using a legendary pet to pick up your stuff,
it would have went to your backpack.
Right. So you would have seen that. I would have seen that, and I don't see shit.
That's very true.
I would hope you would notice, hey, there's a ring in my inventory that I didn't have when I started. But you never know.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I was thinking about that because I'm like, it seems like it might go to your bank.
Hmm.
Because it might have been the only way that they could know for sure.
All right. You guys ready for the second big mystery of this, or third biggest mystery of this week's podcast?
Is this your mystery?
Yes.
Oh,
I want to know. The suspense is killing me.
Does anyone have any guesses before we begin?
No, I've been trying to figure this out since you told me this morning.
Does it involve nuzzling?
That'll be later on the podcast.
Okay. Oh, no.
But thank you, Tanis.
You're welcome.
All right. So you guys will know that in RuneScape, I have an affinity for farming. And I think as a host of this podcast, it is also a job of mine to understand how the game works from all perspectives. So I have taken steps this week and over the past week and a half to begin to do this and to enable myself to have fun with farming again and learn the game from a different perspective. I have said for a long time that ordinarily, you know, there's no point in me doing this, there's no point in it, but I have created an Iron Man character is going to be a skill peer.
Oh.
With the objective of getting untrimmed 99 farming.
Holy shit. The only way this could have been more surprising is if you said you did it on old school.
I actually thought he was going there with this. Wow.
No, okay. I know Shane well enough to know he would kill himself before he made an old school account.
If you guys are wondering as to why this achievement section this week for what I've been doing on this version of the game might be a little bit laxed, well, I've been working on a few other things, and I have a couple skills already to level 15 on that character. And I did put membership on it with a bond, and we'll see how far that goes. And I would also like to say that there is no guarantee that this experiment will continue. If for some reason the account get ruined, or there's for some reason a huge roadblock towards the goal. But the goal at this point in time is to work on an Iron Man character skill pier for untrimmed farming by way of thieving seeds and chopping wood to get nests. If I can get nests before it's time, then we'll do that. If not, then we'll have to find another way to get there. But at the core of it is that I would like the character to remain level 3, if possible. So that severely limits me for what quests I can do. So it means that I can't do the Kingdom of Miscellanea to get seeds every week, because that requires Fremenic Trials and combat skills, which I said I would like to maintain the character to be level 3. So it's going to be very interesting to see what can happen with this. And I think this is about as 180 degrees away as you can get from the standard RS3 playing experience. Not only handicapping yourself by being an Iron Man character, but also handicapping yourself by not getting any combat XP.
Also a 180 from the normal Shane experience.
Really? You think so?
I mean, for as long as I've known you, you've been so anti-skiller. And now you're saying you've made an Iron Man skilling account.
Yeah, because
to get 199 and 199 only.
Well, I mean, there will be other ones. Like, I do hope to eventually retrace my initial steps of getting other 99s that I initially got.
If you get untrimmed farming, if you went all the way to 120, would that be an untrimmed 120? Like, is that possible?
No, I don't think that's possible, because the Master Capes only come in one flavor.
Oh, okay. Bummer. That would have been cool.
Yeah, it would be. And another huge thing that this character is going to be missing out on, Prif.
Ooh, there's some patches there, huh?
Yep. Missing out on two. And the Trollheim one is even going to be questionable, but that's just a herb, so... it's going to be an interesting experience, but I know it's been done before, and I have known people who have done it before a long time ago with other methods in the game. In fact, RSBNB used to host one of the largest skilling clans in RuneScape, Peaceful. So,
That's cool.
So we do – that is something that has always been on the potential back burner. But, you know, just given the fact that – I am almost at level 99 fishing, just through attrition of doing day-to-day tasks in RuneScape, and that I am almost at 99 mining by just doing day-to-day tasks in RuneScape, and I'm holding that one until the mining and smithing rework comes out. But just because so many levels, it'll be out next year. But just because I'm...
They've done that for 2 years.
Well, they had to scrap it, but more topic. That's topic for another show. But... the thing is that so many of my skills are getting so close to 99. I feel that by the end of 2018, if I just played normally, I could potentially max myself without trying. So now is the time to do this.
Embrace it, Shane. Embrace it. Come to the max skills.
And see, that's the reason why I've been so reluctant about it, is because I don't like doing skills just for the sake of doing them. I do them when I have something to do in game. But because so many of them are getting to that point just through day-to-day activities in game, it's time.
All right.
Ways, this is a double-pronged announcement. It's a double-pronged announcement of an Iron Man skiller and the announcement of a potential maxing in 2018.
Oh, that would be cool, man. We'll have to have a party.
Yeah, I think we will for that one, if that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
But more so for the untrimmed farming.
Well, you know. But, as long as it's a party.
But what's going to be really interesting, more so than the fact of just doing it, is going to be seeing how the early stages of the game have changed and what kind of comforts are available to people to complete that. So that's what I'm going to be looking out for. So lots of interesting learning to come in the future, I think.
Oh, it's so much, in a way, it's a lot funner the second time through, because I'm kind of doing that but I'm not limiting myself with the Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, one of the classic examples I have to give the first day is thieving. I get to level 5 thieving, and oh, you can thieve the bakery stall. Let's go to Ardoyan. But you go to Ardoyan, and there's level 21 guards there watching it. And that wasn't a problem the first time around because I was level 40 or something. So they were no big deal then. So it's a really interesting perspective, both from an Iron Man and from just being level 3 combat.
Should have made a hardcore Iron Man.
I wasn't really willing to do that. So I know this is going to shock a lot of you guys out there, but I figured this is the perfect avenue to explain this on a non-update week and talk about it.
I think it's cool, and I admire your enthusiasm there. And if you want to throw just an added level, just because you're not punishing yourself enough, have you ever thought of like trying to buy your bonds through your farming income?
That will definitely be possible once I get to around level 35 farming or so. Definitely.
Really? That's okay. Cool. All right.
And you might say, "Oh, it's an Iron Man. You can't use the exchange." Well, the way I thought about doing this is that okay, so I can get to level 35 or level 38 to farm toad flax on the Iron Man character. That's fine, but I can't sell the herbs. Okay, I'm fine with that. So what I can do instead is I can farm the herbs on my main account, sell them, and buy the bonds with that. I don't think that's too much cheating. Some people might.
No.
And I think that's a fine way of doing it.
I think that's perfectly acceptable.
So that is what's going to happen. And I'm glad that I waited till now to announce it because I think I can hear the surprised look on both of your faces.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked. Like, it's like a really cool idea, and it's going to be very challenging.
Yep.
Yeah, this will be a fun journey to watch.
Oh, I bet it will. Anyways.
I also enjoy watching you suffer, so this will be...
Oh, I enjoy watching you suffer as well.
The love, man.
Back at you.
The love.
Back at you. All right. Well, if you guys don't have any more questions about this venture, we'll move on to smashing relics from Treasure Hunter this week.
Yeah.
The update that I still haven't seen, no matter how much I try to.
Yeah. Well, from the 31st to June 5th, they are running the Smashing Relics promotion in Treasure Hunter to, of course, coincide with Metaphos. And you're going to be able to get a number of unique items on Treasure Hunter, including monkey mace and monkey hats, also what? Shark fists, the Alchemist amulet is coming back, more D&D tokens, the Tazar whip, coin of balance, and Samit gloves.
Seriously?
What do you think?
They've brought back a lot of the old stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that stuff was included because I haven't gotten any of that. Oh, I bet you have to buy keys to get that stuff.
No, it's in your normal.
On top of that, you're also supposed to be able to just find them in-game by, training skills.
Really?
Yeah, they say up to 2 per day, but I've yet to see one.
I think I've gotten more than two per day.
It's 2 per day from skilling, and then however many you get in Treasure Hunter.
Oh, okay. The Samit gloves are coin-generating gloves. Those were out in 2013, so it's been a while since those have been there, and it makes sense about why, of course, we would have that. Golden City, golden coins, right?
Yeah, so, okay.
Shark fists, I'm not sure exactly what those are for, but the monkey mace and monkey hats, definitely still on that same monkey bend from during that stream.
Okay, uh-huh.
That was definitely something, wasn't
it? Guys. Yeah. Wow.
In any case, that is on Treasure Hunter this weekend until Metaphos arrives on the 5th of June. All right. You guys ready for our discussion topics of the week?
Yeah. Yep.
So the first one is from Pernassius, an audio question.
G'day, guys. Pernassius here again with a quick question this week. Do you think it is time Jagex made extreme potions and overloads tradable on the GE? These were released in 2009 and have been pretty much superseded by the combination potions from Priftinus now. This would be a good opportunity for skillers to make pretty decent money from Herblore again, as well as helping out the high-level PVM community who really don't like spending time making them and then putting them all into the combination flasks. Perhaps one caveat would be that a player needs to have the relevant Herblore level to be able to use them, so as to keep the integrity of the potion. But after 8 years and newer potions out now, my belief that this is the time. Especially since Jagex did set a precedent for this with the Juju potions, which were initially untradeable, but changed to tradable with the release of Priftinus and the Myla clan back in 2014. Many thanks for the entertainment each week, and may your gains in Gilanor be plentiful.
All right.
Right.
I think I am uniquely positioned to answer this, but if either of you guys have something burning, I'll let you guys go first.
I mean, I'm fairly positioned as well, because I've got about 1,500 of them. My bank says yes. The rest of me says I don't see why we can't make them tradable at this point.
All right. How about you, Tanis?
I don't really feel the burn on this one, but no, I'm kidding. I think, duh. Great idea. And I don't think it would hurt anything because he's right. The top level, you know, overload used to be the absolute highest top level, but now that would be the supreme overload salve, I think.
Yeah, that's something the one, like that.
You know,
the one we call that's got the gumbo. Overload plus the
yeah
extremes.
It's the gumbo. It's got everything in it. Little this, little that. You know, all of it. So
you make a good gumbo, Tanis.
I do.
Oh, good.
So I think this would be, I mean, why hasn't it happened yet?
All right. You know, the money-making side of me says yes. And, you know, I think that you could pull this off, but there would definitely need to be some strong limitations on this in order to allow them to be in the position that they are in and remain in that position so that they don't become the next superset that was in 2003. So I think you can do this if and only if you do two things. The first thing is ensure that these combination potions never ever drop from an NPC.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
Number two,
Completely
rebalance the NPC drop tables to fix the problem that they have right now with dropping tons of herbs. If you do those two things, I think you can pull this off. And I think it would add value to high-level Herblore, and not only to high-level Herblore, add value to Prif, because you can get all these combination potions and whatnot from Prif as well. So it would definitely add value to that. And, you know, looking at what is tradable now for combination potions, you only have the Super Melee Potion and the Super War Master Potion that are tradable, in addition to the Super Prayer Renewal Potion that are tradable in terms of those combination potions. So that's only three out of the entire one that are available. And then you end up with people like me who are, you know, buying far skillers who do Herblore on double XP week, and you end up with 1,000 of these potions and you're never going to use them. What are we supposed to do with them? So I think, yes, definitely it should be done, but only if those two things can be guaranteed upon. And I say if those two things can't be done or are not done, then it shouldn't happen, because it's about time that we start seeing some of these NPCs be rebalanced to ensure that their drops are fair, and, you know, that fighting NPCs isn't the best place to get herbs for the skill, right? So.
Well, and I mean, I completely agree. I was even thinking about this kind of after our discussion last week, and I thought that's something that should happen with or without this. Like, I think you're exactly right. We need this. The resources should come from skillers. I know it sucks, but it should. And I know people are going to, I know this is going to be very controversial, because people get all buggy about GP in the game, but I would rather PVMers and Slayer, what have you. I'd rather monster drops for coin and let the skillers do the resources. That's what they do. I think it'd be better. I completely see where you're coming from and can totally agree.
You know, I don't think you're going to get any blowback at all from the skilling community. I think you will get blowback from the PVM community on this.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. But you know what? You've had your moment in the sun for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think PVM is fairly set with clue scrolls, especially with the luck update. Because it just takes one of those and you're set for a long time.
Yep.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You going to be sharing that later?
Yeah, I guess I can.
Okay. Oh, you're going to be spreading the wealth?
We'll see.
All right. But yeah, I think that's a definite agreement from all sides here on that. Yeah, something like that should happen, and you know, it could ultimately come with reworks to the Herblore skill, though I think Herblore is in a good spot right now. It just needs a little bit of rework on the primary resource gathering side of it. So, thank you, Parnassius. Next one from Wolfie. With Menaphos and its quests coming out, what are your experiences for the quality of these quests? I believe they stated that there would be 4 quests total, and although I did not personally read the news myself to avoid spoilers, I'm already worried for their quality. I'm afraid these will be really short introduction-type quests, which will ultimately lead to nothing in the big picture of the player. Jagex wanted to move into a concept where your choices make the world around you, and I have yet to see that happen. Do you guys believe we'll see big choices regarding the player, or especially the signature hero Ozan in these upcoming quests?
Well, would the questers like to begin?
Oh, I don't know where to begin with this. His points are entirely valid, I think, but...
Yeah, I think... at least half of them are going to be introduction quests. One or two of the quests may be more in-depth, you know, maybe establishing more history on the city. I don't foresee them really allowing big choices such as killing off characters, because that just makes for plot holes upon plot holes.
And it's very hard to write for as well. Like, we still haven't got the replayability yet for Sliske's endgame from last year.
Yeah. Yeah, because say, you know, half the people kill Ozan off. Well, what are you going to do for the next desert quest?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that just addressing this one point, the ability to make big choices in these quests and, you know, character-wise choices like that, I think that was something that was done specifically for the God Wars series and will continue on into the Elder God series. I don't think we'll start seeing that in other quests unless Jagex starts a quest line specifically to do that. As for what we can expect to see from 4 quests, I would expect one of them to be a mini quest to kind of introduce Menaphos, and the other two... I would say mid-range, probably bottle-like quests using the assets in Menaphos. And the fourth one will probably be some kind of crowning quest that might advance some existing desert storyline or start a new storyline entirely. And, you know, I one thing I would like to see from Menaphos that I'll just say right here that could be done with the quest is a tie-in with the Ark. Because if you look at the map, Menaphos is very close to where the Ark Islands start. And there's a lot of interesting things that could be done with that.
That'd be cool. Well, for me, will there be choices? No. And honestly, I don't think that's a road Jagex ever should have went down. I just don't think I don't think it really belongs in these types of games. If they are doing really good writing and really good storytelling, we don't need to choose. I just think it creates more problems than anything else. I think when it comes to the kinds of quests we're going to get, there will be a variety, but let's think about what they've said, what we know already. So we know there's 4 major quests, and we already know what 3 of them are going to be about.
Yeah.
So we know that the introductory is the Jack of Spades. That's kind of like a Robin Hood character that's going to be dealing with Sofenheim and Menaphos, right? So we know that, and that's an Ozan quest. Cool. you know, all I go through in Quest, he's a character. Probably my favorite signature hero. When we also know the end, the capstone quest, to the, well, it's not the end of the desert storyline, but the end of the Menophos, like, there's a Pharaoh quest, which is going to explain a lot. That's going to be a fairly big one, I think. Now, the other thing that they said was we're also going to learn more about the war with Alcarid and the rivalry there. So I think that is going to be a subject of a quest. So which only really leaves one other quest that I'm not really sure what it's going to be about. That one may be a little bit smaller, but I don't think the main four quests are going to be like little rinky-dink things because the city quests are out there. I think that fills that spot. But I could be wrong.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
You know, you just got to look back to various other kind of quests that happened in RuneScape. And sometimes the best quests that this game put out were the quests that were essentially bottle quests, smaller quests that just focused on specific areas of story. And if two of the four are that, then that's just fine. And if you have one fourth one that we're, you know, talking about the city quest, I believe it was called, that you said, that is going to be the most involved of them and is going to have consequences, then that's good, I think. And, you know, I'm definitely also agreeing with what Wolfie says about reading news about this to avoid spoilers. You know, it's well known to me and those of you guys who I talk to about the show is that I don't read third-party reviews or third-party forums or anything like that on the week of an update because I don't want to poison what's in my mind about these updates. So I think it's a very good thing that Wolfie is not spoiling content about himself here because that ensures a fresh perspective. And I think that's something that everyone needs to do more who plays RuneScape and wants to comment on these updates because, like it or not, you see things around you and that creates a bias, and that bias informs your opinion one way or the other, even if that bias is not entirely true. So what I'm saying here is that it's good that we're not hearing too much about these before they come out.
Yeah, and that's a double edge because, I mean, in a way, that's what we're trying to help people in. That's what we do, you know, is to kind of explain some of this stuff and kind of look at the different sides of it. So, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting, and I mean, I think anytime we are looking at four quests coming out in a short period of time, that's just excellent. At least that's the way I feel about it. I don't know about you guys.
You know, for me, it depends on a few factors. I don't mind Quest. Sometimes I really like them. Like when I've been going through on Junior, he's like, I'll do a quest. I'll be like, you know, that was actually pretty cool. You know, that was kind of fun. But if they give me a colored light puzzle, I'm not going to be happy about that again.
Right.
You know, because they did that with those penguins.
Yeah.
And the
Saren quest and the Zamorax heist as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, if I have to take 15 pictures and share them with my friends on Discord, like, well, what color is this? Not going to be happy. But otherwise, you know, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. And in case you're wondering why Tanis is asking about colors, color blindness, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Wolfie. Anything else on that one before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. If you guys want to send your own questions in for next week's Menophos update episode, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. update.rsbnb.com/ask is the forum topic. Or if you want to text message or call in, that's 571-57BNB, 571-572-2632. All right, on to tech news we go. So we got some large news from Intel this week, and it really is large because Intel has announced a massive 18-core new chip. They're calling it the Core 9, and it's going to have 36 threads on it, of course, because it's going to have hyper-threading. And this is to compete with AMD's new 16-core 32-thread chip called the Threadripper. So it's the official designation for this is the Core 9 Extreme Edition i9-7880XE, and they're calling it their first teraflop desktop PC processor. Previously, teraflops were only reachable in the depths of a GPU, but now you can get one on your desktop, and it's going to have a grand total of $19.99. Not $19.99, but $1,900.99. It's going to be shipping later this year. So this is going to be a chip for enthusiasts, video editors. I don't even want to say that gamers and streamers are going to need this because, I mean, we don't need 18 cores.
No. But wouldn't it be cool? Like, do we really need to go 220 miles an hour? No. Was it fun? Yeah.
There's also going to be other chips in this Core 9 X series family, including a 16-core chip, a 14-core chip, a 12-core chip, and a 10-core chip. Each of these will be ranging in prices from $999 to $1,699. So there will be options for everyone across the entire price spectrum. So I guess you have the i3 starting out at the very bottom, then the i5, the i7, and now the i9. It'd be very interesting to see what kind of sales Intel gets on these, because this is the true high end of the market, and I don't know who's going to need these except for maybe video editors and people who run lots of virtual machines.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're banking on, like, does VR like take more processing power or anything like that?
That would be through your GPU, so you'd want a better GPU for that.
I don't know. I mean, other than it just sounds cool.
Yeah, they are also bringing out a new Core i7 X series that's going to be priced from $339 to $599, and a $242 quad core i5 X series. And the i5 and the i7 chips are coming in the next few weeks. So there's going to be something for everyone here.
Well, I think that is something that it's good about this, that when they come out with this, just, I mean, behemoth of a, you don't need this. No one needs, I mean, you really don't, but wouldn't it then, you know, push down the price of the existing stuff, which was already top end.
Oh yeah. They would definitely give a price cut on the existing i7 and i5 chips.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, I mean, at this point, I'll be in the last generation, which is fine because I've never met a game I couldn't play. So, I mean, it's actually good. I mean, it's actually good for everybody.
You know, I still feel fine on my i5 from 5 years ago. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, if it's doing what it's supposed to do, then it's, you know, I hope mine goes that long.
Yeah.
And all that, you know? It's like,
it should.
I mean, as long as stuff stays solid and relevant and can run stuff, then that's great. But, you know, hey, if I had disposable income like that, if I just had stupid money, you know, and that was my hobby, awesome. Hell, I'd build a new machine, you know? I mean, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. There are people that do that yearly. So,
yeah.
Magic, you got anything on these new chips?
It's worth much more than everything that I currently have in my room. So,
okay.
No.
All right. And there is one catch to these chips. They have an entirely new socket, and they are going to be power hogs. They're going to be running at 165 watts, 140 watts, and 112 watts thermal design power, whereas the current high-end chips run at around 95 watts. And a medium middle-of-the-road chip can run at 60 watts. So these are going to be power drawers.
That's the AMD. Version ship with the fire extinguisher?
That's a very good question. I don't know. But yeah. I mean, AMD has always been a little bit behind when it comes to chips. So,
well, I'm just saying a little hot. Hot.
Yeah. And, you know, clock speeds are able to get just a little bit above 4 gigahertz, and they have new technology so that they can automatically overclock themselves. So this is, in effect, the next, I think, step for Intel is to just start stacking more cores onto these chips, because they can't get the lithography any smaller than it is right now. So
that's cool.
All right. You guys interested in perhaps picking up a new Siri speaker?
Think I'll pass on that one.
You know, I would have loved to have had a new Siri speaker because this is actually kind of an accessibility thing with me.
Oh, there you go.
It's really, really nice. Unfortunately, Siri hears about as well as my 80-year-old grandma who needs new hearing aids.
Well, maybe the new speaker would help with that kind of microphone because it would be designed to pick up the entire room.
I mean, I can tell her something over and over, like various distances. She's just not bright. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, and you have hit the nail on the head in terms of picking out what the problem is going to be for this piece of hardware. Apple can produce a piece of hardware that activates Siri all they want, and they can do it quite well. The question is, what kind of data is Siri going to be able to return, and what is it going to be able to do? Because I think it's common knowledge and accepted that right now, if you compare Siri, Cortana, and the Google Assistant, Apple sits in third based on what they can do. So it's definitely something that Apple needs to work on, and we might actually see something from this next week when Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference happens. And that's when they're actually expected to reveal the Siri speaker and put it up for sale. So, you know, if they can change the way Siri works and make it smarter, then hey, they might have a shot at in this space. But right now, I don't know. Siri's really only good for doing simple tasks on your phone. That's at least what I find.
Well, and she doesn't even do that very well half the time. I mean, I hate that because the reason I use an iPhone is because it does have, like, great accessibility features. But, like, I've used an Alexa at my mom's. She gets it. It can do so much stuff. If I'm on my computer, I can use Cortana to – I can use voice for just about anything. It can open up. It can do all kinds of stuff, and it gets it right. That's the thing. Like, I can't send a text through Siri without having to delete half of the damn text because she thinks I'm saying every word but what I'm saying. Like, I just –
Maybe it's an issue with your dialect, because I haven't had any problems with the dictation.
Really?
Well, I mean maybe. You are half robot anyway, so it understands a bit better.
Thank you.
Are you communicating with, like, ones and zeros?
No, I speak to it normally.
Okay. Well, I mean, that could be the problem, but I don't seem to have the same problem with Cortana or the other one, so... I don't know.
Hi there. I am just testing Siri while recording RSBNB update. Let's see if this comes out the way we want it to. Period. And the readback is, hi there. I'm just testing Siri while recording RSP and the update, which is understandable since RSBNB update isn't a word. Let's see if this comes out the way we want it to. So it got it right. I don't know. Maybe your microphone is clogged or something, but, you know, it's all about capability, I think, for me. Like, the issue right now is that it can only access the default Apple apps, and beyond that, what it can do from the developer side is severely limited. So hopefully next week we'll get some clarity on this, but until then, it's going to be a huge question mark. And if Apple can improve the API and make it more natural for what Siri can do, then they might be able to compete. And, you know, they need to do this because Google Assistant just came out not too long ago, and it can call phones in the U.S. It effectively removes the need for a phone service if you have internet at home. You can just say, hey, Google, call my favorite pizza place, so on and so forth, and there you go. So that's the kind of thing we're looking for. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next week with this. But it seems as of right now, it's going to be all of a sudden that we're going to get one of these devices. Magic, will you be picking one of these up or moving to Apple if Apple improves Siri?
No.
Okay. All right. Our last piece of tech news this week deals with Apple and Nintendo butting heads over parts. So the Nintendo Switch and Apple's newest hardware share some common components, and they appear to be butting heads. So, Tanis, what's this about?
Okay, so whether you own a Switch or not, you've probably heard that the supplies of the Switches are somewhat limited. And various reasons for that. One, Nintendo just didn't anticipate the popularity of the Switch. It's actually on par with the Wii's numbers, and that was a behemoth of a console with itself. So they're ramping up production, but what they're running into is there are some components of, I want to say, flash memory being one of them, that the new iPhones will be using as well. The problem is, with all of the cash that Apple has on hand, they can walk in and pretty much push out anybody. They're going to get what they need and what they want, which puts Nintendo... I mean, and Nintendo's not a small company, but they're not Apple. So we don't know how it's going to turn out come, you know, the Christmas and the holiday season, which Nintendo really needs to get ramped up before people move on to... before a competitor comes out and maybe uses a different component or something that can get easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, I think Nintendo draws the short straw in this because for so many years, Apple has been able to corner the entire supply chain for these products. And what that effectively means is that, you know, Apple can say to a certain company, we need X amount of flash memory by this date. Can you deliver this? And that company will say yes. And in some cases, companies have even expanded their production to suit Apple's needs. And, you know, that's what Tim Cook was known for back when he was Apple's COO before he took over as CEO, was being able to source all the components that were needed for this. So I think the unfortunate person in this situation is Nintendo, because there's going to be high demand for both the new iPhone and the Nintendo Switch come the holiday season. It's just a question of who's going to have the better negotiating and better supply chain positioning. And I think it's going to be Apple, which will be really unfortunate for gamers.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I wrote about the Switch when it came out. It's, you know, it's a really unique, device. It's cool. And people, I mean, hey, the market's speaking when it comes to that, because they're flying off the shelves. GameStop's reported that most of them don't even make it to the store. They get bought online before they even get there. So there is a supply shortage. Maybe they make a deal with Apple. I don't know. I don't really know what they do at this point, but don't look for it to be a quick solution. It may run into next year before we really start seeing switches in the numbers going to need to be in.
And it's, you know, it's such an important thing for Nintendo as well, because if you look at what their shares have done after the Switch came out, they just shot right up. So in excess of 10,000 points. All right. Anything else on that one from either of you before we move on to other things and wrap this show up?
Nope.
So, skill of the month. The May skill of the month was, of course, cooking. And, oh boy, did Touchpad Pro blow away his competition there. 133 million XP gained in this competition. Second place was Flash with 11.5 million XP gained. Third place was Parnassius with 10.2. Fourth place, Whitey with 3.1. And fifth place, Irenas with 3 million XP. Yes, Tanis, I know you get a kick out of that name.
I do. And hey, what place was he?
Fifth.
Fifth? As an Iron Man.
That's right, 3 million XP gained.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
You know, nice.
So, congratulations
to Matt Bro.
Yeah. Just a machine.
He only stopped because he had 200 million.
And it looks like he stopped a bit for double XP weekend to work on other things. So
I didn't know you could get 100 and what was 130 million?
133 million, almost 134.
I didn't even know that was possible in a month. Like, really?
Yeah, that's the current, probably what that's I've current state year. Of the game.
So. Wow. That's incredible, though.
It really is. And in any case, the Slayer Skill of the Month for June has started, and we're doing the Slayer Skill of the Month because Slayer is going to 120, so we'll see what everyone does. And we do have 10 competitors there, some new names and some fresh faces there. So good luck to everyone involved, and we'll see what it looks like once the numbers start coming in.
Yeah, and that started start today?
Yeah, the first.
All right. Okay. How do people, if people are wanting to keep track of that, where do they go to?
rsbnb.com/SKOTM, short for Skill of the Month. And it'll take you to the most recent Skill of the Month that is active.
Okay. Awesome.
Indeed. Alrighty, so I believe it's time now for some achievements of the week. Starting off this week, we have Marnit with 120 Invention on the 31st of May. We also have Cyan with 99 Woodcutting on the 31st. Moving on to the 30th, we have Grimy Tossels with 99 Fishing and 99 Smithing. Also on the 30th, we have I Defend with 99 Strength. And then wrapping up the 30th, we have Torgry with 99 Mining.
All right, on May 29th, Touchpad Pro reached 200 million cooking experience. On the 28th, Frar hit 99 defense. And on the 27th, Feel My Pokes reached 99 invention.
Divination.
Divination. Damn it.
Close enough.
One leads into the other.
On the 26th, we have Solus with 120 invention. Nice. We have Dan with 99 prayer on the 26th. And Letterman with a Y, 99 divination on the 26th. And then Quest Pauls with 99 magic on the 25th.
Good job, everyone. That was a lot more readable than last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, there's our achievements of the week and skill of the month. I'd also like to take this time to just remind everyone that the Informer Roundup is up when you're hearing this at informer.rsbnb.com, the collection of work that has been put together by all the Informer writers in the month of May. You give that a read. Articles from myself, Tannis, Colton, Alex, and of course, Mr. Bistro. Lots of great stuff this month, so you can give that a read if you haven't been following Informer this month at informer.rsbnb.com. All right. You guys ready for a pick of the week?
We're ready. We're anticipating this.
Oh, is it time to nuzzle up?
It's time to nuzzle.
Yes, I am bringing you guys my pick of the week, and it is called Nuzzle. You guys might be wondering, what is Nuzzle? No, it's not. We're not going to have a nuzzle with each other on the podcast. That's not what this is. Nuzzle is a website that takes your Twitter account and optionally your Facebook account and, in essence, turns them into a news feed. So if you follow a certain selection of people on Twitter and you want to put this format into kind of like a news website, i.e. Reddit or Dig, you can do that with Nuzzle. And what Nuzzle also does is it elevates stories that have been tweeted by more than one of your people that you're following. So if three people tweet something compared to someone who just tweets one, the article that was tweeted by more people is going to feature more prominently on your Nuzzle. So it's a great way of aggregating your own news and sorting out what you want to see when it comes to news around you. And I find this really invaluable for other stuff that I do regarding aggregation of news and podcasting and ultimately just looking to see what's happening in my Twitter feed. It's a lot better than, you know, relying on Reddit for news, which is severely slanted in one way or the other and can easily be downvoted out of oblivion if people don't like what's being talked about. So this is all ignored because you decide who you're getting your news from. You just follow it on Twitter, and away you go. It appears in your Nuzzle, and you can customize your Nuzzle so that it shows news from the last 24 hours, last hour, last 8 hours, or the last 4 hours, and then you can get an entire week-by-week view and sort through each day. So if I wanted to see what was popular in my feed back on Monday, I could do that. And it works quite well for sorting through and picking out news items. And what's more, Nuzzle also allows you to create newsletters. So if you have a specific idea that you're wanting to share with your friends, you can create a newsletter that is tailored to the day's news. So if you're into gaming, you could make Tanis's daily gaming newsletter on Nuzzle based on news that you see and aggregate. Then people can subscribe to it, and it would be mailed to them by Nuzzle. You don't need to do any managing of mailing lists. You don't need to manage subscribers or worry about getting their emails. Nuzzle does all of that for you. And the best part about Nuzzle is it's completely free. There's a pro version, but they really don't have many extra features on it. So would highly recommend checking out Nuzzle if you've got a pretty active Twitter or Facebook feed and you want to do some sorting through it and ultimately use it as a portal to sharing out to other people. And you can find this at nuzzle.com. It also works for Twitter lists and stuff as well, which works really well. So I'm very happy with it. And it's spelled nuzzel.com. It's E-L, not L-E. I know that's a common typo for the word Nuzzle, and that's how they changed it. And that's why my notes apparently changed it, because I was typing it in and we got the lettering wrong. So, nuzzle.com.
So what you're saying is you choose who to nuzzle. Other people don't just nuzzle you to death.
Yeah, that's right.
You get to pick who you want to nuzzle.
And if I wanted to, I could share a newsletter of all these things, and if people found it useful, they could subscribe to it. I really haven't done much with the newsletter stuff yet, because I'm not sure if that's the direction I want to go with it. At this point, it's mainly an aggregator for me.
Okay.
So
that's actually pretty cool, because I sometimes don't follow people that I want to, just because my feed is so full and cluttered, and right.
A good way to parse it out, because another great feature it also has news from friends of friends. So people who you don't necessarily follow, you can get what the people you're following would see on their feeds as well. So it's not just you, but it's also the people you follow that you can sort through. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's great. And there's apps for it as well, but I just use the web interface.
Okay.
Yeah, Nuzzle.
Nuzzletoff.
Yeah. So what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Magic.
Well, I got back into the game, I believe, 4 days before Double XP weekend and decided to stick around. Other than Double XP weekend last week, I haven't done too much. A little bit of Slayer. A couple of clue scrolls, including one Shadow Die, which I sold for 770 million.
Oh! Oh! You steal my heart.
So, yeah, I made up for Double XP weekend.
That reminds me, I need to go check my Oyster.
Did you get it in an Oyster, Magic? No.
Okay. I got not a hard clue.
And the Oyster I am, of course, referring to is the Oyster on Tutorial Island that you can do every month. So, all right. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All righty. How about you, Tanis?
Well, I have been frantically trying to get my second character up to Menophos Rex, but I mean not the basic Rex, but like trying to the optimum stuff, and so done a lot of the fair. That's been done. It's great for low level accounts and hunter agility. Actually really good. Do the happy hours.
It's too bad there's no thieving there.
I know. Yeah, the main I've actually been thieving, you know, pretty much all week until today, where the competition has begun, so I hope you all brought your wood screws, because I'm about to blow your doors off. Yeah. So
I should have entered that because I am going to be loaned a Luck of the Dwarves for the month.
And oh, you lucky! Yeah. I so wanted that.
Well, see the thing is, one of our regular visitors in chat and sometimes questioner on the podcast, Thieves, is going away for the month of June. So he said, "Why don't I loan you my ring and a weapon, and you can go do Slayer and go get to 120 and go bring us back that ring that we're all after? Because hey, you've got all these skill pets with, you know, not getting that much XP, and you've also got the Black Sand hat, so maybe you could get one of those Hazelmere rings for us."
Probably could. He's probably not far off. Oh, man. I wanted one of those rings so bad, but I have, like, 20 fortunate components. I'm like, I need 30 more, and that stuff. Like, I hate clues, so
I'm debating just buying the Onyx on the exchange, but
well, that's the easy part. It's the
fortune. No, the alchemical onyx. You can buy the alchemical onyx on the exchange.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, but isn't it? It's like 52 mil right now or something like that, isn't it?
Oh,
like,
I thought it was 30. Okay.
It has skyrocketed.
Yeah. Once the Hazelmere came out.
All right, Thieves, I will be taking you up on your offer to borrow that ring for the month when you're out.
Yeah. The onyx is 37 million right now.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if you get it to come in at that, but yeah, that's cool. It's a lot. It's a lot, It
definitely is.
Alrighty, anything else for you this week, Tannis?
No, that's it, and good luck to everybody. I'm just, you know, doing what I do. I gotta troll just a little bit when it comes to comp time.
Yeah. All right. Well, as for me this week, I'll start with the new account since that is probably what people are going to be most interested in. I started it on Tuesday. So since then to the podcast, I've had the chance to get level 15 thieving and level 15 woodcutting and go for a very precarious run over White Wolf Mountain to go see if thieving the bake stall in Ardoin would be worth it. And then I found out, no, it's not. So I just went back to the men and I'm going to try and do that. I think the next thing I can do the buyers and sellers quest, and that should give me a significant chunk of thieving XP that can get me towards the Thieves Guild, which, if I recall, should be good XP. So I think that's what the track is going to be for that character. And then after that, it's to get to the farmers and then the seed stall and then start the adventure.
Very cool.
But I have some other news on the main account also this week. You know, just been doing some herb runs, some herb lore here and there, visiting the Ark, island hopping, and training some invention with that. But while I was on the Ark and I was cutting my golden bamboo, I got Woody the woodcutting pet. The woodcutting skill pet.
Oh, sweet.
Jesus.
Yeah, and, you know, let me just get the exact number here. Since the pets came out, just to shock everyone how much XP, how little it was in terms of XP since the skill pets came out and what I got. Going back to August 22nd of last year to this year, I have only gained 1.2 million woodcutting XP, and I've got the pet.
Holy crap. Yeah, you're lucky. You are lucky as hell. Damn.
I also got the divination pet.
Same week.
No. That was before you joined the show. And oh, okay. I also had the herblore pet and, of course, the farming pet. So that was my fourth skill pet.
Cool. So one more and you'd be a jack of trades, huh?
Yeah. I wonder what it'll be. Right. But I thought I'd surprise you guys all with those two big announcements this week, the skill pet and the new account. So I look forward to hearing what you guys think on that and your guys' opinions on the best way to level up thieving to the seed stall. And if there's any other ways I might be missing for farming, but I think I got farming well under control. So.
Very cool.
All right. That's it for this episode of RSBB Update. Thank you, Magic, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Tannis and I will be back next week with a very special guest throughout the month of June to cover Menophos. You guys are going to like this guest. He's going to do a great job at covering Menophos with us. And we're going to uncover lots of the secrets of this city through Slayer and whatnot. on the podcast. So we'll see you next week, and thank you for sharing your time with us.
Bye.
Bye.